There we go.
Oh,
we're
right.
Now live. it'll be audio though, so it's all good.
Yeah.
I'm here live with the Justin Blackburn, and this
did
is
you say the Justin Blackburn.
The Justin Blackburn.
I like that. That's how I refer to Gianna's parents. The mom and the dad. I don't know.
I'm here with the Justin Blackburn, life coach, poet extraordinaire. He is the head of the Answering the Call to Anxiety program. And this is a book that I know the title of, but it's long, so I make sure I don't fuck it up.
I forgot to send it to you. I got to do that. My fault. Oh, yeah. I'll do it tomorrow.
Awesome. The Bisexual Christian Suburban Failure and Lightning Bipolar Blues.
Yeah.
Now, Justin is an amazing masculine presence. Just like a bold poet type of guy that's in touch with his feelings and an amazing coach and a healer. And my first experience with you was seeing that video you were doing about the girl that's like afraid of being called a racist. And
it was inspired by someone who made a video.
Yeah.
I remember that one. That was funny.
Yeah. And there's also a viral video of White People Us.
Yes.
Which is pretty powerful. So
thank you.
You got some viral hits out there.
Yeah. The one poem video I did with 80 Ways made the video.
Great
job on that. We're actually working on an album right now. So that's cool together.
Love it.
Yeah.
So I introduced you in a few different ways and a few different creations, but how would you describe yourself to the world?
Just a person that likes to be creative and likes to get to the truth of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like getting to the fucking core.
Yeah, I like to get to the core, and I like to create and make art. And, you know, same with, like, coaching. I feel like coaching is a really great art.
Love it. Yeah, like, I started out with doing hip-hop and rap and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, we got into an argument about the Eminem versus Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah. I think Eminem got the kill shot in my opinion.
I feel like they were both great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Machine Gun Kelly had a good song, and Eminem, I think lyrically, he's got it.
Well, it depends what you're into. Like, I'm not as much into, like, flow.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm more into, like, the words.
Yeah, yeah.
And Eminem definitely got him on the flow, because Eminem's, like, the best flow guy. You know, he's one of the top five flow guys of all time.
I think he's purposely trying to break records of like how fast he can flow now. Like he's
on the Godzilla song.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah.
Did you like the new album?
Yeah, I liked it. I like the approach where it's going more into the underground direction instead of the mainstream, like poppy hooks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your like stand up and poetry reminds me of like being a wordsmith. You know, like, just like, it kind of gives me that feeling of a freestyle battle, but you're like really talking about something deep. And I think that's amazing how you can tie that in with life coaching, but also sharing your art to get to the truth and put out a message.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
So what would you say now is like your direction in 2020?
2020, well, the book, The Bisexual Christian Suburban Failure and Lightning Bipolar Blues is out. And I'd love to turn that into like a show.
Love it.
It's like a 3-part season series right now. So season one is out. Season one is like confronting trauma. Season two is healing trauma. And then season three is like living from that expressed space.
Yeah.
So I would love to put that to create something with that. I'd like to get better at I think you do an amazing job of creating programs. And I feel like I've always just kind of done one-on-one with people. Yeah. But I want to branch out and do like more programs. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to do. Hopefully I'll do that soon. And yeah, just get better at like life coaching and comedy. And I want to put out an album called Unlearning White America that I've been working on.
Love it.
That has stand up music and hip hop and like spoken word on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's going to be up on Spotify and all that.
Yeah, I'll put it on Spotify. I finished the title track with AD Ways, who was the guy that made the video. So that was cool. Just I guess being more falling in love with things deeper is what I want to do. Because I feel like that's where everything is, you know, just like the more I do things, the more I realize like everything is in the falling in love of it, in the sense of like you're only holding yourself back by not falling in love with what you're doing. Talk about Eminem. Like I watched that. Did you watch that Crooked Eye interview?
Yeah, that like helped me fall deeper into love with hip hop, where it's like, you know, like just enjoying the depth of the music.
Yeah,
like it was totally. Just like on a whole new level.
Yeah, that was a great interview, and I love how like these people like Eminem and Kobe Bryant, you know what I'm saying? It's like these people that are so amazing. They just really loved what they did.
Yeah,
and that's why they were good at it. Like Eminem was talking about on Saturdays, he still just listens to hip hop all day long.
Yeah. You know?
And I just think that's what I want to do, because I feel like I've allowed things in my life to keep me from out of love with things.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, stand-up comedy. Like there's a part of me that kind of hates it and kind of like hates the comedians and things like that. So like I notice when I'm in a positive state and I love everybody, when I it's basically like, you know, what I have to do is kind of pre-pave my energy. And when I'm in like this positive energy and I go out to this show, I'm like having such a great time and I'm nice to everyone and everybody's nice to me and all this. But then when I don't do that, what I used to do is I would just kind of go up and hate on people just in my mind a lot. And then people could feel that, you know, because I mean, stand up is an art form. It's probably, in my opinion, like the least creative.
Yeah. It sure can be.
It can be, definitely. Like when it's done amazingly, it's incredible. But I just feel like there's all this stuff that everybody's already laughing at, because people will be like, wow. And you did stand up for a little bit, right?
Yep.
So people act like it's like hard, but it's not really hard. It's hard to be good at it. Like people are there to laugh. And then there's already all this stuff in the universe that's funny. So if you just kind of point at that, you're going to get laughs. You know, it's not hard. But the art is in like being amazing at it. Like
I feel similar with like hip hop open mic with comedy, and then also looking at the news feed with coaches, it's so easy to see something saturated and it's like, let me just go through the motions and speak the message.
Yes.
And I think what's powerful with what you do is you put your heart and soul into the message. And if you have a similar experience that I have, I think sometimes it's like you can get kind of taken out of that from the noise. And it's like, you feel like yourself are going through the motions unless you challenge yourself and fall in love with the art over and over again.
Totally. And that's what I love about you and everything you post and who you are as a person. It's all this like intense, genuine, like very thoughtful, very like breaking down the step-by-step core of things. Like every time I read one of your posts, I'm like, hell yeah, this is awesome. Cause it's like, that's what, and I feel like, that's just how my mind works and what it wants to know. But not everybody really needs that. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that it's bad. You know what I mean? Like when talking about like, not everybody wants that like real. And because lately I've been reading this book called How to Solve All Your Money Problems Forever. Have you read that?
No, I haven't read that.
It's incredible. It's by Victor Bach. And it's only $2.99 on Amazon Kindle. And so I've been like really annoying to people about like what they're saying and getting, you know, really deep into things. And, you know, like I had a friend of mine tell me yesterday, like, it's annoying, man, just stop. Cause I'm like wanting to know why he was doing what he was doing on like a deeper level.
Yeah.
But you know, but not everybody wants to go there.
Yeah.
But I like to go there because I just feel like I don't want to continue to do the same things that are keeping me from doing what, from being the best person I can be.
Yeah. What would you say the main concept of that book is, like when it comes to money?
Well, the main concept is just like how, well, the first concept is, it's kind of a couple parts. The first concept is like your subconscious is creating your reality, basically it says.
Yeah.
So like when you keep telling yourself these things, they happen. So if you just tell yourself different things appear in your reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started honestly had just doing the exercises, which is just saying, like, I, Justin Blackburn, have 6 life coaching clients paying me full, you know, whatever I want, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I started to just make more money just by in the book. I mean, I'm not like, you know, killing it or anything, but it's like, just doing the exercises, I just started seeing more money come in randomly. Just,
love it.
You know, in other people, through coaching, through everything. And it was just really interesting. But the second part of the book is that's just like telling a different story. And you just want to do that kind of like every day. And then the second part of the book is just how so everybody's addicted to money, addicted to like worry, addicted to things, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, recently I was having a call with somebody and I just had this like really weird fear that like, what if they cancel and don't pay me or something, right? Yeah. Just out of nowhere. But that was like, I was like, okay, cool. That's the addictive thought, right? That's an addiction to this whatever. So that's basically what it teaches you to do, is just like really break down everything that's like an addictive thought in your mind, even if they come out of nowhere, and just kind of call it out, like you call out, like, you know, a misogynist or whatever, whoever you want to call out. You just call out your own thoughts. No, that's an addictive thought.
Call out your misogynist thoughts.
Exactly, call out your misogynist thoughts. So, yeah, so it's actually a very, very powerful book that I kind of recommend to people.
Yeah, I think it's really powerful to address the subconscious mind, and like sometimes I've gotten caught up in feeling like, okay, I got to get myself in the vibe and get into the vortex. And it's like this constant thing of like forcing myself into the vortex. But when we address what's going on the subconscious level, then we can have that going naturally rather than like this weird thing of trying to jump in all the time.
Totally. Yeah. I actually had an experience of that yesterday where I just kind of felt, I just didn't really do anything. Like I had some things that I did during the day. But then that night I wanted to go out and do stuff and I just didn't feel it. So I just didn't do anything and it was fine. And then I woke up feeling really great.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know, like that is another thing. It's like always trying to force the high vibe. Like, it's funny how like everything is a fucking trap. You know what I'm saying? Like trying to force the high vibe, then you kind of get addicted to that or whatever. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. Like there's been times in my journey that I got addicted to journaling.
Yeah.
Which I think journey and journaling go, I have to like make a poem out of that. But
yeah,
like I would just journal all day,
just
journal for hours upon hours as if it was this task rather than actually getting the benefit of truly writing out the affirmations and being in, you know, like truly being in that vibe. It was more of like, let me do my homework every morning.
That's funny, not to, you know, call out my amazing, loving, awesome girlfriend, but we've had that fight before. I journal a lot. I'm like, you're journaling it too much.
Yeah.
Just say
you're journaling for a result.
Yeah. Just be where you already want to be.
Yeah.
Journal. Yeah. I mean, I didn't say it like that, but it was like,
yeah. It is like a mind fuck because it's like, you want to like look yourself in the mirror and like say, I'm a millionaire, but then if you were actually being a millionaire, would you go in front of the mirror and say you're a millionaire?
Exactly. So it's like, yeah. it's definitely a journey and on all that. I think it's just kind of about like whatever you're doing, loving it.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just all works out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A big realization I had, you know, like going back to the programs thing is like, I felt like this year, it feels like a deeper level of doing programs. And I feel like instead of looking at it as like, I'm going to sell this program, if you look at it like a book or an album where it's like, this is my beautiful creation that people get to take part in.
Totally.
Even if it's like a live experience.
Yeah.
It's so that's much awesome. More powerful.
No, that's a great mindset to have.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, like the excitement is that's what really brings people in. It's like when you're excited about it and
totally.
That creative energy, I guess, rather than being like, hey, what numbers can I do? You know, how many people can I sign up?
Well, that was a huge thing of me that I really like, even though I haven't always been the most integritous person in my life. I feel like deep in my soul, integrity is something that really means a lot to me.
Yeah.
So like, I don't feel like I want to do things unless I feel completely purposeful and I'm doing them for this right reason.
Right.
You know, like in times I've had people like want to buy books of mine that at the time I didn't like, and I'm just like, no, that sucks. Don't buy it. You know, just cause like I'm at the point where I like maybe read one a couple days ago and I was like, oh, that sucks. But it's just like wanting to be very integritous is like deep in for whatever reason, you know, whatever childhood thing it comes from, or maybe just that's what people want is to be integritous. But that just feels, when you're in that energy of just doing it no matter what and loving what you're doing, the money becomes part of that purity, you know, and everything just becomes part of it. It's amazing. And it's kind of like, not that the goal, obviously you want people to show up, but when you're in that energy, you don't really care.
Yeah.
And then, cause you're just having fun doing it. But the funny thing is that's what makes people buy it.
Yeah.
When you're not trying, when you don't care, not that you don't, you know what I mean? When you're just like, and so in love with it, cause that's all everybody wants.
Yep.
That's what everybody's trying to do. That's why they're taking your program, is cause they want that energy of like being in love with whatever they're doing.
Yeah. It's like even investing in yourself, it feels like a gift, you know, like, it feels like you're getting a gift on Christmas or something like that. You're unwrapping it and enjoying your time with it. And it's like adding that fun and play is so fucking important.
Oh, totally. And I think that that's something that like, you know, I think life coaching is kind of like a new thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll have people that'll hit me up or like people that have no idea about it. And then like, we'll do a call, like a one-on-one call, and they'll be like, oh my God, this is amazing. I had no idea what to expect or anything like that. And I think that that's a lot of things that, you know, people just don't understand. The normal or the person that's not in that world doesn't understand how beneficial those things are. And when they do, it does become like this amazing gift that I love this. This is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny how like people can get caught up in the mindset that it's like coaching is saturated, but it's only saturated if you focus on like the communities.
Totally. So
for instance, like we were talking about open mic and hip hop and all that stuff. Like I went through a lot of different industries in my early 20s where it's like, I've had a social media filled with real estate investors. I've had a social media filled with comedians and then coaches. And it's like, you attract what you are.
Yeah.
You attract what you desire as well. So it's going to be like that. And I remember coming up to this realization when I was single, and hearing all this thing about saturation and coaching and stuff like that. And then I would be on a dating app and I'd tell a woman like, yeah, I'm a coach. And they're like, well, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
you coach sports or something?
Yeah, totally.
So a lot of people really need to know what it is, and it's still cutting edge.
Yeah. Like comedians that I hang out with will make fun of me or something, like, you know, like one of them one time I was doing a gig out of town and another comedian was like, we were riding together. Another comedian was like, are you going to have to pay Justin for riding in the car with him? But the funny thing is, and not to put these people down, is that my coaching would really benefit them.
Yeah.
Or any, because, like, you know, there's a lot of like self hatred and doubt there.
Yeah.
You want to clear that up. But yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, I saw – Katie, stop grumbling in the background. no, like I saw a lot of that in the military where it was like they make comments about, you know, coaching prices and stuff like that because it's like a whole different money mindset.
Yeah.
And definitely in the comedian world, it's like it's a lot of self-deprecating humor. I feel like it comes from a dark place and coaching comes from like a healing place. So it's a really good transition.
Yeah, it is. I think there is a lot of dark humor there. And I think that a lot of it does like a lot of money mindset where I think that, you know, I had a really bad money mindset. That's why I love that book. But like, you're not really, that's where that comes from, is that, wow, that's way too expensive. Oh my God. It comes from the limited conditioning that we're taught.
Yeah.
And it comes from, like, I've had, you know, people like talk all this, it's like people that I know, like talk all this shit about Gianna and Jenna because they charge, you know, but it's like, you're just not understanding. First off, it's worth it because it's incredibly helpful. Like yep. There's actually no price that you could actually put on it on some level. You know what I'm saying? If you have a really great coach, I mean, it changes your life forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if it was like $50,000 or $50 million, you know, it's worth it. If you know.
And yeah, also, there's willing clients at each price point. So
totally.
It's like it gets to be this guilt and shame-free type of thing where it's like the client will rise up to that level where you decide to charge.
Yes.
As long as you're willing to rise up with it.
Totally. It's an amazing, like you said, you're attracting your reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would say mostly, you know, like coaching is so innovative, but it usually ends up being cheaper than college.
Yes.
So totally. It's like I take this, you know, I decide to invest in myself and make myself a better person where like I embody this new level where I hold in all this new value that I live with forever. And then the intangible results, they stack on top of each other as you move along.
Totally.
You know, it's not just like I did coaching and I want the result the week after. It's like, you know, you could look 3 years back from a retreat or a coaching experience that you did. And you're like, wow, that really helped my trajectory. So yeah, it's like, if you look at it in comparison of like college where, you know, you can't file bankruptcy for college. You can't, you're like, you're stuck with that debt.
Yeah.
And if you drop out, you're fucked
totally.
Because you're like fighting for that certificate and you compare that to coaching. Like, then you see how cheap coaching can be. I'm not saying that it's like cheap, but like,
no, exactly. No, you're totally right. Cause I mean, that's so true. And I think that the funny thing, like I talk about, like, I think there's a line in the book, my novel with the long title, that says that I never liked school much because, you know, they didn't touch on the most important subjects, like what the fuck are we doing here and what's the point of life, you know?
Yeah.
And if you don't know, if you're not connected to those things, what are you doing here? What's the point of your life? Then college is kind of meaningless. You know,
yeah.
Luckily I went to college and ate mushrooms and yeah. learned about myself in that way. So like yeah, college, yeah. Honestly, I don't remember. I remember one thing that I had this like crazy, awesome, writing professor said, and other than that, I don't remember shit from it.
Yeah. I did like a year and a half of community college just to like impress my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend's parents at the time. And then I broke up with her and I'm like, well, what the fuck am I doing in college? Like, I want to do some art, you know? And yeah. I did some bullshit courses too, like Photoshop and stuff. And I think I learned more about Photoshop from YouTube, but whatever, you know, like.
Yeah, I feel the same way because I was like, I'm going to make a movie. So I was like, all right, I'm in college. And if I take media arts, they'll give me a camera.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that it was like, you had to be in it for like a year.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't make it that year basically to get it. And I realized that like everything that they taught me, which was, you know, helpful, looking back, I didn't learn it because I didn't want to learn it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you go to school. Like, I didn't start reading books until after I dropped out of college. Because, like, reading was something that was, I associated with boring and having to do it.
Yep.
And then in reading what I didn't want to read. Like, I didn't want to read, like, The Great Gatsby or, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? I didn't want to read that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I definitely think that it's like, you know, I like also with even poetry, I think that the school just really brainwashes you and makes you think that like poetry is boring.
Oh, yeah.
They read you a lot of boring poets. They don't give you like the shit that's like sparks you, you know, because it's like ye tither bud lie, you know, like you're like 15, you know, nobody speaks in that fucking tone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When I was 15, I thought poetry just sucked.
Yeah.
But I was listening to hip hop and I didn't even realize I was like listening to poetry.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, they just really condition you. And I think if any, you know, to the people that are listening, if you're in college, drop out and hire a coach.
Yeah. For everyone across the board.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck if you want to be an engineer, drop out.
Exactly.
Be an entrepreneur. Coach.
It's not even an engineer coach, hire a fitness body coach.
People really get upset with that if you want to do an experiment. I don't know if you've done it before, but like if you say something bad about college on Facebook, and then there's always that line like, well, someone has to operate the machines or someone has to clean the floors or, you know, some shit like that. It's always like that same conversation. I got kicked out of a Facebook group for that.
Honestly, I have no idea what I'm talking about right now. But is that stuff, does it really take 4 years of learning how to do it? Probably right. Not. It probably takes about 3 or 4 months to really get down to the core shit. You know, obviously you want to keep learning throughout your life, but I think it's just this big drawn out, you know, thing because they want you to keep paying them money.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's why I noticed with the, you know, when I was doing Photoshop classes and stuff like that, I probably could have learned the 2 semesters I did in like 2 nights if I just learned from home.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, and shout out to like, you know, mechanics and stuff. They're doing a great job and I appreciate them, but you know, it's not hard to change your own brake pads. You know, not that I've ever done it, but I've seen it's pretty fucking easy. Yeah. I saw a friend of mine do it. It didn't look that hard. It only took him like an hour. Actually, it took him like an hour and a half.
Yeah. You know, probably take me at least 3 hours, but I could do it.
Yeah. And I think, and it's great that they're out there because, you know, everybody plays their role. But I just think that we make this, like, things way harder than they have to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something people say a lot when you mention college. It's like, well, do you want a doctor that doesn't have a degree? Like, it's always that drastic thing. Like, you're on the operating table and you have a doctor. And it's like, well, fuck, man, I don't have a degree.
Yeah. I get that. But is that, I don't know. But do they really need to go for, first off, doctors, in my opinion, doctors are really, you know, I feel like doctors in college kind of go hand in hand. It's like, they're not on the cutting edge of life. They're not like, oh, so what's, you know, they just see a problem and then they try to fix it, but they're not fixing like the core root of the problem, which like a coach would do, a good coach would do, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, which, and then the problem would stop, you know, that's why. And so, yeah, I think that's another, obviously, like, you know, a surgeon, I don't know about that. So, you know, maybe they need to go to college for 8 years. I don't know.
But, yeah, I think, I don't know. I always think of like there's more innovative ways. And of course, this is like me speaking on an uneducated, but like, I just feel like probably a surgeon, even though college is important and having education is absolutely important. So just like, let's get that clear. There's probably a more streamlined way or more easeful way than whatever the hell they're doing in college.
Exactly. And if you think about it, like, people were able to do stuff like hundreds of years ago, that before college, thousands of years ago, you know? Yeah, they had some, like, you know, they'd throw leeches on you and other things like that. And it was like, you know, trial and error, which is basically what we're doing now. You know, I mean, it's just, I feel like, I think that's what mushrooms in college really helped me realize, is that like everything that I thought was this big deal was actually not a big deal. And everybody's making more of a big deal about everything than it really needs to be. Cause I always knew that in high school. And that's why I never like did well and always kind of got in trouble and was like kind of the outcast person. But then when I ate some mushrooms, it just really clicked, like, wow, we're making life way too complicated.
Oh yeah.
And it's been a struggle of trying to figure out how to, I don't want to say a struggle, it's been a journey of trying to figure out like how to reach people with that message.
Absolutely.
But yeah, but it's real life, you know, and everybody is everybody's in a different place with that message. So, you know, you got to figure out how to reach everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, in all seriousness, there are some people meant to go to college, but like, I think a big barrier for creatives is that pressure from parents.
Yes.
Or, you know, saying like, you need to go to college or else this is what you need to do to be successful.
Totally. And
it's simply not true, especially in all the opportunity that's available today.
Exactly. Especially today. I mean, even when I was going to college, like I remember I didn't want to go to college because I hated school. And I remember like telling people, like, you're going to go to college? I was like, I don't know. And then like parents were like, friends of mine's parents were like, what? You have to go to college, you know? So then I told everybody I was going to go to, you know, like, I was just really stupid. I was like, I'll go to my dad's community college. So I moved to Greensboro, North Carolina to go to my dad's community college and live with my grandma. And I ended up having like a terrible anxiety attack and freaking out and moved back home in like a week. But it's just funny, like all that comes from like a world that's not teaching you anything, that's just telling you this and not like listening to you. So you just, so the kids just make, it's like, you know, growing up, I always felt like the kids in the, like the ISS, the in-school suspension or the troublemaker kids were always like really bright and brilliant. Yeah. And they just weren't given that energy or love or nobody understood them. And that's why they turned to drugs or juvenile delinquency or whatever else you want to say. You know, it came from like a failure of the system, in my opinion.
Oh,
instead of the kid who was like really smart and fun, it just didn't want to do what they thought that they should do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad because it's like a lot of people fall into that trap where it's like, you know, it's, I guess it's like this thing of fighting against the resistance of school, where it's like this isn't aligned and there's no outlet for me. And when I do those creative outlets, like the adults or whoever's like looking after me is saying, well, that's not real. You need to fucking do some like computer networking class or some shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then it's like, well, fuck it. I guess I'm a loser then. And I'm not going to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you develop a whole nother thing that you need to hire a coach for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got kicked out of my creative writing class. I got kicked out of my, and this is like high school. I got kicked out of my acting class.
You're being too creative.
Yeah. So, yeah, I always thought, you know, But we're here now, and that's, I think, all those, I think it's like real important messages that you and I both share is kind of like, I think that's why we connect, is like reaching the person who is, who feels like a loser or a failure or something. I mean, that's basically what my book's about. But they're not. They're just learn the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And now they need to unlearn it if they want to progress in life.
And like when the C student does go the route of learning and upgrading and stuff, like oftentimes it's like the A and B students that work for the C student.
Exactly.
So like,
totally.
So the ceiling is so fucking high. It's limitless.
Yes. Great point. Cause I mean, that used to always piss me off. Like my mom's very like conservative Christian, sweet woman, but you know, real, whatever, brainwashed. And she would always be like talking about like, oh, Andrew made all A's. He is so smart. And I'm like, he's not smart. He just fucking does work. Like, that would always frustrate me as a kid. Like, oh my God, he's a genius. Like, no, he's not. He just turns the homework in and studies and does what the teacher tells him to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of like, yeah, I mean, you know, that there's something to that. But like you said, like the CD student, because they're not boxed in. They're not listening to this, like, do this, be this person. So then they have this freedom to like you said, limitless freedom. Because, you know, like the A student is like, teacher, excuse me. You didn't tell me exactly what to do here.
Yeah. Would you say that your upbringing and things like that, would you say like in a way it pushed you into the message that you have now, where it's like
living in
a conservative household, you're like, fuck this. I'm going to write this message.
Yeah, no, totally. It was that definitely created that. Just, you know, growing up incredibly, very sheltered. You know, my parents never told me what anything was, you know, be like, what, you know, what's gay, mom? Like, happy, you know, like, dad, like, what's masturbation? He's like, what, that's, you mean mathematics. Go do your homework. You know, like, they never told me about anything.
Yeah.
Which the problem was I learned it from, like, middle school kids, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of learning it from people that knew what was going on. So I was just, like, real sheltered and real stupid and just, like, never had anybody to really show me the way. So that created me finding my own way. And that way was like, you know, really chaotic. And I wrote this novel when I was like 21. The Secret Service came after me for it. It was a whole thing.
Nice.
Yeah. And because I was like passing it out places and I was like telling everybody, this is the greatest book ever written and you need to read it. And, they thought I was trying to like, it had some stuff about George Bush and shit in there. They thought I was trying to like create this like revolution or some shit. Cause I was just giving it to like, I didn't have boundaries at that point in my life. Cause I was on a lot of mushrooms. So I would like give it to like ladies at the, you know, at the grocery store. Like, this is the greatest fucking book ever. It'll change your life. Take it. And yeah. So that's what that created. You know, so now it's been like learning how to like cultivate that energy into a positive stream instead of a chaotic stream.
Yeah. It's funny. I got suspended for trying to sell my CD to my teacher. I had like a small run in with the Secret Service. They came and interviewed, my friend. Like, I had a BB gun on my website. I was holding a BB gun, and my friend was too. And they're like, they're in the office, and they're like, have you ever held this gun before? And they show a picture of me with it. And my friend's like, no, never seen it in my life. And then they're like, are you sure about that? And they show the picture of him. So, yeah, we got some dumb trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think that, like, being able to see that dumb trouble, I think that's kind of an adult's job, is to be able to see that dumb trouble and then try to like facilitate it into this other way. And I feel like I maybe had like one or two teachers my whole life that were like, didn't really do that good of a job, but tried kind of to do it. And yeah, and I think that, yeah, I think that that's, you know, why we were drawn to coaching. Or, you know, I think Nick Tilia, I like what he says. He's like, I really hate bad advice.
Yeah.
So when I see bad advice, it inspires me to put my message out there more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely good for like, I don't know if you've got into like human design and stuff, like for a manifesting generator, like I can always respond to things that come up. And that's like the most inspiring content to write when you see something that is like you don't fucking like and you're like, okay, now I got some shit to write.
Yeah, no, totally. What's human design?
It's like a personality test. It may be complicated at first, but it's like there's like four different types, like manifesting generator, manifester, generator, and it starts with a P. I don't fucking know. I'm not an expert, but I know stuff about mine.
That's cool.
But yeah, it's very eye-opening. It kind of uses like astrology and then, you know, like your personality aspect to it. It mixes it all together and it seems pretty accurate.
And then it teaches you how to like manifest through your specific label.
Yeah. So like it gives you these answers of like if someone wants to hang out or something like that. And then like as a manifesting generator, you essentially it's like good to wait 3 days to go through your cycles and be like, okay, I genuinely want to do that. You know, like if you create plans with someone and you feel like, fuck, I want to bail out of the plan right now.
Yeah.
So it's like learning your natural patterns to make sure you're giving an authentic yes rather than just jumping into stuff.
Yeah, that's great. I feel like I could definitely benefit from that. I feel like recently I had a session with this intuitive woman who said that my emotional and physical body looks really great, but my mental body is a little not as sharp as it could be in the sense of like, I just feel like I'm kind of scattered at times with like doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Or different things and like learning how it's all doing one thing basically.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what I'm learning is like, it's all just one thing. But it's kind of, it's a great challenge that I need to, continue with.
Yeah. It's like that creative mind.
Yeah, totally. Like learning how to facilitate it in the best way. And I think that sounds, I'll check that out. That sounds really cool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I can send you a link later, but, cause I think I can find something, that I was looking at, but I don't know the link on the top of my head.
Yeah.
So your program on anxiety, what inspired that?
Well, I was thinking about like, what do I feel, very, it's a good question. I think, okay, so like, you know, dating Gianna and I feel like Gianna and like, and you know, Jenna, Gianna's my girlfriend and Jenna's her twin. They're coaches and they do an amazing job of like saying, I was this way, now I'm this way. And yeah, I feel like that's great marketing. And not that it's true. And I felt like I didn't, part of like, I told you like I'm kind of getting better at marketing and learning that stuff is I felt like I don't really have, that's not something where my mind goes naturally, that I was this way and now I'm that way for whatever reason. But if I actually think about it, I did have a really intense bout of anxiety, panic attacks for a while. When I was younger and doing a lot of drugs, I would have panic attacks. And then when I moved to Costa Rica with this woman for a while and worked at this yoga spa, Costa Rica yoga spa, and I helped out with whatever they wanted to do, and I would do intuitive readings. And I don't know, some things happened and it didn't really go there. I started having like really intense like panic attacks. And mine were always like very existential. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the point of life? What the fuck are we doing here? The first one that I had over there was like really funny. I was doing yoga And this might not be good content because it might not be relatable, but maybe hopefully it is. But I was doing yoga, and I started, and it probably is a certain people. But anyway, so I'm doing yoga, and I'm overlooking a mountain. I'm on the, you know, on this mountain. Oh, sorry, overlooking the ocean. It's beautiful, and I just have this like amazing oneness experience. Like when I was younger, I used to have a lot of like, I am one and everything's, you know. So I start having this like oneness experience. I go to the like the jungle. I'm out there with the animals and I'm one with everything. And it's like, you know, blissful God consciousness or whatever you want to call it. So anyway, so then I walk back to where I'm like, you know, I was waiting the tables that night or something for the guests. And I start saying like, I'm one with the tacos, you know, like, and then I'm like, I'm one with Gary, who's the fucking owner. I'm like, I fucking hate Gary. I don't want to be one with him. And then I'm like, I'm one with
fucking Gary,
who's the worker guy. I hate that guy too. I don't want to be one with him. And I just started having this like insane panic attack where I thought I was like going to die. And it was just like crazy chaos. But yeah, I just started having a lot of panic attacks over there that were like really intense. And I'm like chanting Archangel Michael in the bathroom. Yeah. And, but as I kept having them, and then my partner at the time wasn't the most compassionate towards me at that point in time. And she's just like, get over it. I don't want to hear about that shit, you know?
Yeah.
So that made me have even more panic attacks. So we're like, and I remember like we visit this volcano and like she's, you know, having a great time. We're like waterfalls and shit. And I'm like thinking the universe is trying to suck me into a black hole. And I'm like walking around like holding on to like trees, trying not to get sucked into this insanity that I've created in my mind or whatever. Because I had a lot of like, I did a lot, I don't know. It came from like a lot of the existential shit that I went through, like what's the point of life, what am I here, you know, all that kind of stuff that I went through a lot as younger. Anyway, as I started to I got out of that situation, the panic attacks kept happening because they don't stop, you know, they don't just like magically stop. So I started going, huh, okay. One time I was like, all right, kill me then, motherfucker, and it went away and it didn't kill me. You know, and then I started to like talk to it, and it's why it's called answering the call of anxieties. I started to like have a conversation with it. Yeah. And what it told me was that basically like I'm trying to help you, and I just told it like, well, you're not doing a good job, you're not a helpful person, you know, you're and so then when it started to come back, I would be like, oh, there you are, you're not being helpful, and then it would just kind of dissipate. I feel like I like, you know, got out. I don't have panic attacks ever anymore. You know, I think that was something that I was like able to transcend. And I know a lot of people with anxiety, and I really want to reach people in that world and do the same for them. And I want people to realize that anxiety is not that bad. No, yeah. It feels really bad. It's just like an energy. And if you like answer the call of it, meaning if you like talk to it, you'll realize like what it's actually trying to say. And if you go on the other side of that anxiety, that's where your bliss lives.
Oh yeah.
And that's where everything that you would ever want is on the other side of that chaos. But you have to kind of get to that chaos first to be able to find it.
Yeah.
So that's what inspired that. Just having anxiety and moving through it and wanting to do the same for others.
Yeah, that's life-changing and life-saving. Like,
yeah.
I honestly wouldn't know what I'd do like through the breakdown, like the times where I've had like massive breakdowns in my life. I don't know what I would do without the life coaching skills or understanding what the fuck was going on.
I had a great, one of my best friends, we had a great conversation about that yesterday, actually, just talking about how like a lot of people that I know that do have this anxiety and stuff, that are my friends, some of my friends that, you know, really care about, they don't have that thing. They don't have the source within them kind of, you know, they're at the whim of their chaos. And when you're at the whim of your chaos, when you feel hopeless, what makes me feel hopeful is like, you know, we're all one, or I don't know about that, but, you know, like, we're all, I mean, I know we're all, I don't know if that makes me happy, but no, just that we're like alive, life is beautiful, and God is here, yeah, and all that kind of shit. Like, you know, I'm creating my own, I'm attracting my own reality, you know, I'm in control of this to a certain extent or whatever, you know, that makes me feel so great, which is, yeah, you know, where other people in my life don't have that. So they're at the whim of like, oh, nothing's ever going to work out for me and things like that. And it's like, I mean, it's not going to, because you're saying that, not to be a dick, but you know, that's what's only happening. Cause there is no you. It's just, yeah, there's no world. It's just you and you.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you change that, you see different results.
Yeah. It's a big difference of like knowing that anxiety is at least trying to look out for you,
yeah,
and having that relationship from thinking like, oh my God, anxiety is like this outside monster looking to fucking get me. And
exactly, like,
I have no control what's going on.
Yes. And that's what really has bothered me about, and that's kind of where that, like, you know, it talks a lot about that book and why I'm passionate. A lot of that is in the book about confronting mental illness. Is like, when I was a kid, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder because I was different and I didn't care about school. I don't know, whatever. And so, you know, when I would go into like, couple years later, I was invited to read poetry at a bipolar meeting or something. And all these people were just so stuck that I think I had a little bit of a panic attack that day, because they were just like, I'm not trying to make fun of these people or put them down. I'm making fun of the system that creates them, but like, they're like, you know, I'm bipolar 3.7. If I didn't have my medication, I'd be dead right now. And all this, and they're just like, they're so tied to this identity of bipolar, so tied, yeah, to this identity of panic, anxiety or whatever. And it's just like, mm-hmm, that identity is what's keeping it. You know, like, there's no cure for this. That's always bothered me. That's why I kind of don't like doctors on any, like, anytime there's like no cure for anything, you know,
yeah,
that really makes me sad for people. You know, I believe, you know, we could cure death if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But yeah,
the revival. So, I mean,
yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that's something that is very passionate about me. And I think that maybe something that I don't give myself enough credit for overcoming, because I'm just like living my life and I'm not like thinking in that mindset. But yeah, I did overcome a lot of, like, you know, hellfire and mental illness and all this kind of stuff to be where I am now. And I just kind of want to put that message out that there more, and learning how to put that message out there more.
Oh yeah. I feel like that's pretty common unless we consciously look at it, where it's like we live with what we have and we think it's normal. Unless,
yes,
we like go into the outside world or we focus on it. Like for Rebecca and I, we did, like, we're just in our relationship and having a good time. And like recently, maybe a month ago, I think we put out a relationship program. And it was on Valentine's Day, and it's like then realizing how many people received that, and it's like, wow, this is amazing, I love it. And it's like, oh, this is just like normal stuff to us, you know.
No, so it's totally, like, yes, exactly, great point.
Yeah
I definitely get caught up in that of like I think I've always done that, even like doing, when I used to do intuitive readings, mm-hmm, you know, people were like, wow, and I would just be like, it's very easy, you just, you know. It's kind of like, you know, coming up to like a person that, like, you know, maybe like a songwriter or somebody like, you know, Taylor Swift or something. And you're like, wow, yeah, you're so amazing. But they're just doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Like in the beginning of this episode, like when you were like, stand up's easy, I bet you some people listening, like, are you fucking serious? I'm scared to death to get on stage. You're fucking out of your mind.
Yeah, exactly. But that I guess would be the only fear. Once you get up there, it's easy. But yeah, I could see that. But yeah, it's kind of like you're just doing things naturally. And because a lot of people have been conditioned opposite of that, then, mm-hmm, it's like this huge, like, wow, you know, and I think it's me learning how to be more in touch with that energy. That's kind of what I'm like, that's where I'm trying to focus for 2020.
Awesome. So for the people listening that want to be part of this program and get your book and like follow you on social media, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you and know about all the things that you have coming up?
Awesome. Thanks for that question. Yeah, you can just follow me on like Justin Blackburn is who I am. I'm friends with Brandon. And then I have a page called Positive Progressive Poet Comedian.
Yeah.
That's like my page where I kind of put out like progressive, like I have a passion for social justice. And I kind of do that and put out like my poems there. And then, you know, just you can hit me up and contact me, be my friend, and then send me a message if you want to be a part of any of this.
Absolutely. And if you look on probably Facebook or YouTube, you'll probably find one of Justin's video.
YouTube, and I have a website that I'm about to update it. It's JustinBlackburnWrites.com, but it hasn't been updated in a while.
And your book, is that on Amazon?
The book is on Amazon, The Bisexual Christian Suburban Failure and Lightning Bipolar Blues. And if you want to get it on Amazon and you like it, feel free to leave. Gianna told me to do this, so thank you, Gianna. Please
leave a review, damn it.
Leave a review.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it was amazing having you here.
That was amazing being here. You know, I've always really appreciated you, and I thank you so much. You're such a strong, powerful voice in the world, and I'm really grateful to, you know, see it and be a part of it. And this was a really awesome conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And anyway, listeners, see you next time, I suppose. Awesome. I'm not good with goodbyes.
Goodbye.
All right, I'm going to...